Hope your Friday's going well so far. It's 2:34, and me, Anna DeBlantis, here with you on WGN. Let's talk about your health. Dr. Geraldine Luna, the medical director, one of the medical directors over at the Chicago Department of Public Health, is joining us now. She'll take your questions. So if you have one about the vaccine availability, or anything really to do with COVID, the city's approach, she can answer it. 312-981-7200. Dr. Luna, happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Clear something up for me, will you? The city and the state are run completely separately when it comes to vaccine distribution. I'm hearing the federal vaccination distribution goes, a part goes to the city and part goes to the state. Can you just sort of explain that to us?
Yes, and this is not the first time. It's always been like that. Since the city manages a high population density, it's always been like that with vaccination. So this is nothing different. And in a way, it's perfect because we can get our own allotment of this life-saving vaccines.
Yeah, so it just, the only thing that to note, though, is when the governor made the big announcement yesterday that every resident over the age of 16 will be eligible to get the vaccine by April 12th. That does not include city people, city residents. We're pacing a little behind that. Is that right?
That is correct. And part of it is because we're vaccinated non-residents that work here, our commuters that come here every day, provide services. It's pretty much under our jurisdiction, not really under our jurisdiction, but we do vaccinate anybody that provides services here in Chicago to keep us safe.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's, it's happening. You know, can you answer something else for me? I'm hearing from listeners that say that they've been able to obtain extra vaccines by kind of going to the pharmacy at the end of the day and trying to say, hey, do you have any left over? Are you any you're going to throw out? And sometimes they get a yes answer and that it works for them. I wonder what you can tell us about that.
Yes, and that is something that the city has been working to make sure that nothing goes to waste. So part of the strategy is to have like a background check list or something, a backup list that if for some reason we have no shows, and we have had those, unfortunately, at the end of the day, there's a plan, because a vial that is open is a vial that if we don't put in an arm is wasted. So a lot of people are doing that. It's working for a lot of people. Again, there is no certainty that you're going to get it or not, but patience is what we ask. The plan is to get everybody vaccinated, and we're just giving it up front to those that need it the most in order to survive this pandemic and to contain the disease overall. So that's pretty much working by our plans of Protect Chicago Plus and other places that those communities more highly hit, where the outbreaks have been the highest. By doing that, vaccinating everyone in these communities that so much need it, we decrease the spreaders, we decrease people dying and positivity rates, and it's reflected. This is the best place that we have been in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. How long does it take for it to be expired or waste? Like, when would that, how long do they get to hold on to it before they're in that, you know, position where they might have to toss it out?
Yeah, once you open the vials, all the vaccines have hours in shelf life. So once the vaccine is, the vials are open, these little bottles, then it's when we go down the, you know, it's ticking, and then we need to put those vaccination in arms. But if we're talking about like for the way that we store the vaccinations, they can be longer. Of course, we have like now Johnson & Johnson's coming. It could be like 90 days just sitting there without any problem, without even being in the fridge. So Pfizer is a little bit different. Pfizer is has been a nuisance in that sense. It requires minus 80 temperature to keep them. And then once you take them out, if it's refrigerated, you can have a couple of weeks. But once you open those vials, all of them, you need to use them.
All right. Let's hear from you now. Let's go to Tom on line one. Tom, go ahead. Your question for Dr. Luna.
Yes. Hello. I'm 50, and I live with my father, who's 90. Me and my sister haven't been able to get an appointment yet for the vaccine. And then 2 weeks ago, I had heard about the Chicago has the in-home where the fire department or whatever will come to the home and give the shot, because my father has really bad knees and he uses a walker and it's hard for him to get around, so it's hard to take him like to someplace like a convention center or something. We signed up for that program 2 weeks ago. We signed him up, and we did get a confirmation that the thing went through, but we haven't heard anything since then. You know, we didn't get an email or anything about that. And I was just wondering if you know anything about that program, because, like, there's no number to call to check on your status or anything.
Yes, you're right. And the Homebound program, right now we have 3,000 individuals already registered, which makes it excite us very much, because we know the necessity is very high for those individuals that really cannot leave their homes. However, the process here, it's a little bit slower. So if we're really, really encouraging anybody, anyone that can, because it's 65 years and older, our United Center, and all of our clinics are vaccinating 65 years and older. Even if you can take them with a wheelchair, it's going to be quicker than waiting in the in-home bound, program. That's going to take a little bit longer. So, and if we have caregivers or anybody that is falling into prioritization list, we recommend those to get vaccinated as soon as they have an appointment, and instead of waiting, because we are vaccinating in-home patients that can really leave the house and the caregivers, but it's going to take long. Dr. Rawardy yesterday said in one of her conferences that it might even take all the way to September, October of 2021 to have everybody that is register inbound to get vaccinated. So that's a lot of waiting time, and it's because it's a program that it's a little bit slower compared to all the other initiatives and all the events that we're having.
Yeah,
if anybody lives in the Chicago Plus area, we're having we're having events happening there. We're having temporary clinics just for those communities. These events are only for those communities. So we encourage anybody living in Protect Chicago Plus. In the following 10, we're having now events for 65 years and older that I can share the zip codes. You tell me if we have time, I can share the zip codes. But all of this information is chicago.gov/COVIDVax.
Chicago.gov/COVIDVax. Okay, hey, I want to try to get one more.
If anybody lives there, please take advantage, because our world is about to get a lot bigger. March 29, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to find those vaccines, because we're adding more than a million individuals more.
Wow,
to this
more
new
prioritization
list.
So let's get the folks who are eligible now their vaccines now and do everything we can.
Even
Tom,
if it's a wheelchair, let's do the effort. Let's take them out there. This is the time.
Let's do it. Hey, John, if you can give us your question just in a few seconds here, we can try to get it answered here. Go ahead. Dr. Luna's ready for it.
Sure, Dr. Luna, thank you. I'm 30 years old. I'm healthy, no underlying conditions, and this is a feeling that myself and a lot of my friends have. I'm at such a low risk of actually having something bad happen if I get COVID. Why take a risk taking a vaccine that really hasn't been proven long term?
Yeah, you know what? We have had situations. I mean, the funny thing with COVID is it does not respect. If you're a Latino, if you're African-American, your risk got higher because of the conditions that we live, our neighborhoods, and everything that we have been explaining. As part of the social determinants of health, that it doesn't work in favor of us. So my daughter is 23. She got sick with COVID. And fortunately, it didn't pass that point, right? We haven't seen long-lasting effects or anything like that. But that's something we still are about to find out. So why risk it if we know that clinical trials protect all the individuals there? 130,000 so far with our three vaccines were vaccinated back then, and 750,000 here of Chicago residents have already received one of the forms of the vaccine, at least one. They're vaccinating, and we don't see that there's links to death or any consequences, minor events happening like fever or something like that, or arm or minimal compared to the disease and to severe forms, which could end up in death. It's not worth the risk. And by protecting yourself, you protect the ones that you love. And by doing so, also your community. So
that's
this
the
is
argument.
An act of protecting the people that you love, protecting yourself, being responsible, loving your body, loving the people that you live with.
Yeah, John represents, I think, a lot of people just sort of on the fence about it. If you feel like you're younger and healthier, that, you know, hey, I might wait a little while. And that's, I have heard a lot of people say that. Before we run out of time here, Dr. Luna, I do want to ask you about the Loretto Hospital thing. I know Dr. Arwady is answering questions about it this afternoon, and we'll report that in the news. But they attracted a lot of attention for all the wrong reasons. They vaccinated the hotel workers at the Trump Tower. The COO lives there. Okay, so they got in, and now then judges and their spouses were vaccinated. Now Block Club Chicago is reporting a third part of this, that the over 200 members of a suburban church came in to the city hospital because the CEO of the hospital attends that church. And it just seems kind of out of whack, the whole prioritization. There are some folks who say, let's just get shots into arms no matter what at this point. There are others, and I could read my text line to you right now, of lots of people just saying, I can't get one. I'm 65 plus. I've got underlying conditions. I can't get one either. No answer. No vaccine. I'm looking through it. So those folks still don't have it. And now you look at a situation where the city stops the distribution of first doses at that Westside hospital because they can't, I guess, rely on this hospital to do the right thing here. You got any thoughts about this?
Yeah, we're trying not to, right, go into, like, details, because our mayor already did the presser, and she said she was very disappointed. Loretto has been a very strong partner, and we don't want to take the credit away of all the things, positive things, and vaccinating our communities more highly hit. However, you're right, you know, like, if you have the vaccines and you have a commitment with the federal government, it's not even with the Department of Public Health, is anyone that is a vaccinator has a commitment with the federal government to follow prioritization. All these drugs, not drugs, but this vaccine in particular, is protected under authorization use. So there is commitments, and part of the commitment is equity a framework to follow with all the people, all our city members and our community members here in Chicago. And the reason we're giving it the way that we're giving it, it's because we save lives, we prevent spread. These are the communities more highly hit. These are the people that need it the most upfront. We understand everybody needs it, Anna. Everybody does. But by following this framework, we protect the people that need it the most and protect the people around the people that need it the most upfront. Because by containing the disease, we're saving our stakes as well, our lives as well. So, yes, we're very concerned, surprised. I think they're in communications. Dr. Arwady, our mayor, is in communication to try to find out what was this all about. Apparently, it was it's stock that was not even from us. It's from the federal government. And we have heard other places around the you know, not even the city, it's the state. Having those similar situations, instances. We just want to make sure that that everybody understand that this is not something that we knew about. We had nothing to do with it. And we're trying to understand a little bit more what happened there. But this is the wrong message, and this is not who we are. The city wants to make it very present and make it very real that everybody understands we respond based on the needs. And these are the National Academy's recommendations. It's not even us. We understand and we abide by those because we support and we stand by the initiative of equity. Equity has been everything in Chicago, has drive all decisions and initiatives. And Anna, I think we're in a better place than we were a long time ago when everything started. So I'm going to keep myself away from it. I don't understand a lot about politics. It's not my
I hear you. You're trying to run a health department, and you're doing the best you can.
Yes.
And this isn't on you. I didn't mean to say that in any way. Dr. Luna, I just want to thank you for you. I want to thank you for your time and all of you folks at the Chicago Department of Public Health who've checked in with us this week to answer questions. So thank you so much, and good luck with the next phase, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Anna, and have a good one, too. And everybody, please protect yourself. Protect the ones that you love.
Dr. Geraldine Luna there. She's a medical director at the Chicago Department of Public Health. It's 2:48. More in a moment here on WGN.